Hey, what's up there, JG613? Jacob Byrne here from StellaCorner.com, and I'm going to be answering your question on braising versus stewing that you left in the comments of that video. I just figured it'd be easier for me to pop on my recording device here on my laptop and give you a quick little audio answer instead of having to type a bunch of stuff out. All right, so anyways, number one, your first question. So to clarify, is it technically only braising if the liquid covers the aromatics but not the meat? Or at what point does it go from a braise to a stew? Is it when the meat is totally immersed? So to answer that, you have to remember that we're really just talking about nitpicking the etymology or the history of the term braising and stewing. So technically speaking, when talking about braising and stewing in their origins, braising was done in a sealed brassiere, cast iron pot that was done on top of coals with just a tiny bit of liquid at the bottom. And so again, this created a moist convection style of heat in that enclosed pot that was on top of the coals. And that differs because the meat, while being braised, even though there is still steam present, would slowly brown over time. The juices would drip and incorporate into this very small amount of liquid in the bottom of that pot, which would give you an intense liquid that you would then serve alongside your braised dish. Versus stewing is more of a gentle simmering process where you're completely covering the meat in liquid and gently simmering for an extended period of time until the meat is tender. And that tenderness comes again from the collagen slowly unraveling into gelatin strands. Question number two that you had, do you get the same tenderness if you cook low and slow, and immerse the meat completely in liquid? That sounds like boiling to me. Is it not boiling because of such low temp? As you would from braising with less liquid. Is there any correlation whatsoever to the amount of liquid and flavor tenderness results as long as you cook it low and slow? So the only real difference in flavor is the liquid at the bottom of a traditional braised dish. And again, we're talking about going way back to when they were using the brassieres that were cast iron with a tight-fitting lid on top of the coals. That liquid, because there is less dilution of those flavorful juices that drip from the meat, would be more concentrated in flavor. That doesn't mean that when you're completely covering meat with flavor that you're losing flavor. Because as you see, like in my braising video where I'm doing the braised beef short rib, I'm completely covering that short rib in a veal stock, and the veal stock has a ton of flavor in it from simmering for hours and reinforcing and reducing. And then I'm adding more flavor to that veal stock by submerging the seared short ribs in that stock with some aromatics and then braising it, and then taking that stock and again reinforcing some more flavor and reducing, and that reduction concentrates flavors. So they're different approaches, yes, that will yield, you know, different flavor outcomes, but as far as one being more flavorful than the other, no. Braising and stewing, when done correctly, both yield very flavorful results, albeit slightly different. As far as tenderness goes, no, it's all about low and slow, breaking down the collagen. So as long as you're applying slow, steady heat, and that you give that collagen enough time to break down, you're going to have a tender product, whether you're stewing something or braising. Now, it's important to note that stewing is the ever so slightly just gentlest simmering of your meat in liquid. And you do it very, very slowly so that collagen can slowly break down. When it's at a heavy simmer or a rolling boil, then the temperature is too high and the cooking environment is too harsh, and you're going to quickly dry out your meat before the collagen is actually broken down. Now you said question number three, I read on kitchen.com that braising cooks larger cuts of beef in enough liquid to partially cover the meat as shown in classic beef pot roast with root vegetables. Stewing uses small uniform pieces of beef pot roast or beef for stew meat that are totally immersed in liquid. This technique is used in beef bourguignon. Is this true? Okay. So yeah, I mean, kind of sort of again. So this video, it was, the purpose was to kind of answer a very common question that I get, which is what is truly the difference between braising and stewing, while also kind of teaching you guys a little bit about the science behind braising and stewing, which is mainly low and slow with moist heat breaking down collagen into gelatin strands. Oh, excuse me, I'm finding a bit of a cold. So, when I stew something, so technically speaking, yeah, the common approach is not all, you know, not to completely cover a piece of meat when braising it, and when stewing, the classic approach or the common approach is to cut it into bite-sized cubes and then simmer. Now, for example, though, when I'm making a stew at home, what I like to do is I like to keep the meat whole, and I keep the meat whole because it has less surface area, which means there's less of a chance of it to actually dry out. So what I'll do when I'm making a stew, I actually use the braising method, right? Or what we understand as like the more modern braising method. So if I were using like a, let's just use the example of say I'm making a short rib stew, okay? What I would do is I would do a braised short rib dish with a little bit extra liquid in it, and the short rib, and I'd braise the short ribs whole after I sear them, and I let the short ribs cool in that liquid. Take the short ribs out, strain the liquid, and reserve my flavorful liquid, of course, skimming the fat as always. Next, what I would do is I would take the short rib meat that's already perfectly braised through, and I would cut it into the bite-sized chunks that you want for your stew. Now, again, keeping it whole during the cooking process is going to help prevent that meat from drying out. You know, the more surface area meat has and the smaller it is, the more likely it is to dry out more quickly. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just set that cut short rib meat aside, and then I'm going to start a soup base, basically, where I'm going to, if I want my stew to be nice and thick, I'm going to make a roux, I'm going to set that brown roux aside, and then I'm going to start maybe some sweating some vegetables and deglazing those vegetables with some red wine. And then I'm going to add the stock or the braising liquid back into this pot that has my fresh vegetables in it. So it'd be at this time, like if you want like potatoes, carrots, celery, chunks of onion, if you want those chunks of vegetables in your soup, you add it now. And this allows me to cook the vegetables until they're perfectly done, thicken the entire soup with a roux, so that way I'm controlling the texture of the vegetables, and I'm controlling the consistency of my stew liquid, and then I'm going to add the diced short rib or the cubed short rib meat back to that stew base right at the end, just long enough to heat it through. Then I'm going to adjust final seasoning, maybe salt, maybe a little acid in the form of vinegar or whatever, spoon it out into bowls, and garnish. So by using a braising approach to create something that's recognizable to us as a stew, you're going to have a lot more control over the end product. Now your last question is, is there math for brisket? At what temp for how long per pound should it be braised? And again, what does the amount of liquid come to play at all? So the amount of liquid that you're going to want to use for a brisket when you're braising, I would just cover it basically, is would be my approach. Sear it first, cover it. And really it's more, it's not necessarily about the overall weight or poundage. It's about how it's about the total density of that piece of meat. So a thicker brisket is going to take longer because it's going to take longer for the heat from your braising liquid to diffuse into the meat and then slowly break down that collagen into gelatin strands. But typically for something like a brisket, if you're going real low and slow in the oven at about, you know, 225 degrees Fahrenheit, or 200 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, 93 degrees Celsius, which is what I demonstrate in my short rib braising video, you're basically looking at about a 6 to 10 hour braise. But if it's a larger brisket, you could even let it go overnight as long as 12 hours. And if you're going to let it go 12 hours, again, you want to make sure you have a really low and slow heat. So I hope that helped to answer your questions. And again, the whole purpose of this video was to kind of teach people about the history of the terminology of braising versus stewing while throwing in some science there too. But I really wouldn't get too caught up in the actual technical definition of braising and stewing. I mean, now you have a pretty good grasp on it, but really it's about what gives you the best end result, which is the most important thing.